And everyone, welcome to the Experience Hockey Talk. My name is Michael Lindebaum, and we are brought to you by the Tilted Kilt Frederick, Tilted Kilt Pub and Eatery, located at 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Come to the Celtic-themed sports pub featuring the world-famous Tilted Kilt Girls. For more information on the Tilted Kilt Frederick, visit them on Facebook today. And of course, this is Serious Hockey Talk for Serious Hockey fans, and we're going to jump right into it right now, starting with the Capitals versus the Carolina Hurricanes on October 17th. The lineup for the Capitals for first line was Alexander Ovechkin with Evgeny Kuznetsov and TJ Oshie, with the second line being Marcus Johansson with Nicholas Backstrom and Justin Williams, with the third line being Jason Chimera with Jay Beagle and Tom Wilson, and the fourth line comprising of Brooks Like, Chandler Stevenson, and Andrei Burakovsky. The defensive pairings were Orpik with Carlson, Alzner with Niskanen, Orlov with Chorney, and Braden Holtby started the game in net. And in the first period, you had the game started off with a penalty at 14-14 in the first, with Brooke McGinn of the Carolina Hurricanes being called for tripping, which on the power play at 15-57, TJ Oshie scored his second of the season with the assist from Nicholas Backstrom, who was making his regular season debut. Then at 16-51 in the first, Brooks Like got called for tripping. And in the second period, we just had two penalties, Jay Beagle being called for tripping at 4:56 and John Carlson being called for slashing at 6:18. Then we go into the third period. In the third period, we had Nicholas Backstrom scoring his first goal this season, unassisted at 1:38 into the third, which was then immediately followed by a goal by Jeff Skinner, which was also unassisted at 7:45. Then at 9:30 into the third, Carolina took a penalty when Ryan Murphy was called for hooking. John Carlson then scored on the power play for his second of the season, which was assisted by Nicholas Backstrom and TJ Oshie. Nicholas Backstrom, of course, receiving his third point of the game. And that was scored at 9:43, so that was 13 seconds into the power play that the Capitals were able to get that goal. Then at 10:09, Brooks Orpik was called for interference. And then at 16:11, Alexander Ovechkin scored his third goal of the season, which was also unassisted. Then at 19:50, at the end of the game, both Evgeny Kuznetsov was called for boarding and Christopher Stieg of the Carolina Hurricanes was called for slashing. The Washington Capitals ended up winning the game 4-1. Shots were 34-19 in Washington's favor. Faceoffs were 31-29 for Carolina. For the power play, the Carolina Hurricanes went 0-4, while the Capitals went a perfect 2-2. Hits were 16-19 for Carolina and Washington. And block shots, the Capitals blocked 19 to the Carolina Hurricanes 10. Overall analysis for this game is that the Caps carried over their momentum from their game against the Chicago Blackhawks, and the addition of Nicholas Backstrom didn't hurt them one bit. The Caps made the power play count when they had them and were spectacular on the penalty kill. Cam Ward made some spectacular highlight reel saves, but when push came to shove, the Caps were overall the better team. Then, on October 20th, the Washington Capitals began their Western Canada trip by visiting the Calgary Flames. Their lineup was on the first line, Alexander Ovechkin, Evgeny Kuznetsov, and TJ Oshie, with the second line comprising of Marcus Johansson, Nicholas Backstrom, and Justin Williams. Third line having Jason Chimera, Jay Beagle, and Tom Wilson, with a fourth line being Brooks Like, Chandler Stevenson, and Andrei Burakovsky. Defensive pairings were Brooks Orpik with John Carlson, Carl Alzner with Matt Niskanen, and Dmitry Orlov with Taylor Chorney, with Braden Holtby being the starting goaltender. In the first period, Calgary got the first goal at the 9-minute mark when Sean Monahan scored his second of the season, assisted by Johnny Gaudreau, who recorded his fifth assist of the season. Then at 10:48, Dmitry Orlov was called for high sticking, which was then immediately followed with another penalty on the Caps at 13:24 when Taylor Chorney was called for holding. Then at 16:02 in the first period, Washington scored. Andrei Burakovsky scoring his first goal of the season, assisted by Evgeny Kuznetsov. Kuznetsov with a sick no-look backhand pass from behind the net to Burakovsky. Great play and goal to tie the game at 1. And then in the second period, 30 seconds in, Alexander Ovechkin scores his fourth goal and his 900th career NHL point, assisted by Brooks Orpik and Evgeny Kuznetsov. Then at 2:57, Calgary took a penalty when Brandon Bolig was called for kneeing. And then at 10:56 into the second, Nicholas Backstrom scored his second goal of the system, assisted by Justin Williams and John Carlson. Then at 11:37, TJ Oshie scored his third goal of the season, which was assisted by Evgeny Kuznetsov and Alex Ovechkin. And that was at 11:37 into the second. And to finish off the second period, Dougie Hamilton was called for holding at 14:37. Now, I was able to watch the second period. I couldn't see the first because I was recording MBM Wrestling at the time. So my analysis for the second period was that the Capitals dominated the Flames from the very beginning of the second period. Ovechkin leading the way, scoring 30 seconds into the period and notching his 900th career point. Then up pressure by the Caps to create more scoring opportunities, the Capitals outshot the Flames 13-4 in the second period. And then in the third period, Calgary scored at 3:09 into the third by Mark Giordano, scoring his first goal of the season, assisted by Michael Frolik and Johnny Gaudreau. But then at 6:53 into the third, Jason Chimera scored his second goal of the season, assisted by Calgary native Jay Beagle. And then at 16:14, Nicholas Backstrom scored his third goal of the season, assisted by Justin Williams and Matt Niskanen. And then at 19:35, at the end of in the third period, Calgary was called when Derek Englund got called for charging. And the overall analysis for this Caps game is the Capitals burned out the Flames with their play. They continue what they have been doing since their game against the Blackhawks. All four lines were clicking, and the top line of Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, and Oshie were on fire yet again. Ovechkin had 2 points, Kuznetsov had 3 assists, and Oshie netted yet another goal. And of course, Nicholas Backstrom, in only his second game, netted 2 more goals. And with that, we are going to go to break, and when we come back, we are going to be doing the National Women's Hockey League report. Ever interested in meeting your favorite athletes or celebrities, or looking for that right memorabilia for your collection? Then come to the CSA Shows in Chantilly, Virginia. For more information, go to csashows.com. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for Serious Hockey fans. And now it is time for the NWHL report brought to you by DerbyCon. DerbyCon, which is December 4th through 6th at the Hyatt Morristown in Morristown, New Jersey. Come see special guests like Karel Strukin, Richard Hatch, Michael H. Hansen, and many others. For more information, please visit DerbyCon.com. And on tap for the NWHL from last week, the first game was the Connecticut Whale versus the Buffalo Buttes. The Buffalo Buttes were donning their special pink jerseys for their first ever stride for the cure for breast cancer awareness as they took on the Whale in front of a home crowd all decked out in pink to support of the cause. The first goal of the game come at just about 4 minutes into the first period with an Alyssa Wolf-Filer goal, with Lindsay Berman getting the credit as the helper. Buttes came back to tie it up with a Megan Duggan goal and with a little help from Kelly Steedman with a little less than 4 minutes left to go in the first. And then, reading Tracy's notes here, Faber scored the only goal of the second period. The third period started with a Buttes goal waved off at the start of the period for crease violation, but still saw 4 goals scored, 3 by Connecticut. Kate Buster assisted by Fratkin, power play goal by Molly Engstrom, assisted by Kelly Stack, and an empty netter by Kaylee Fratkin, and Buffalo's Kelly Steven getting the second goal of the game for the Buttes. Connecticut moves to 2-0, and Buffalo moves to 0-2. Notes, Connecticut spent quite a bit of time in the box throughout the game, but it was hard to tell who and for what, so I think it's time I memorize names and jersey numbers for each team and learn the ref's hand signals. Both teams skated really well, and even though the game finished 5-2 during the second, it really felt like it was anyone's game, but the Whale really showed their stuff in the third. And then, of course, the second game was the Boston Pride versus the New York Riveters. This was the New York Riveters' home opener. The place was packed, and the crowd was loud. After a very long delay because the Pride was stuck in New York traffic, it took the Pride less than a minute to score the game's first goal of a backhanded beauty by Zoe Hickel with a little help from Hillary Knight. Not long after that, Brianna Decker scored the second goal of the game for Boston, making it 2-0. Then, while New York was on the power play, Decker and Corrine Bowie scored another beauty in a 2-on-1 to make it 3-0. Nana Fujimoto was pulled and replaced by backup Shanae Lundberg in the second after the third goal. Late in the second, Gabby Figueroa would score New York's only goal of the game, making it 3-1, and sending the crowd into one of the loudest cheers I've heard in a long time. These New York fans love their team. In the final period of the game, Boston just owned New York as they racked up 4 more goals, and I would tell you they were scored who they were scored by, except I couldn't tell during the broadcast and am having a very hard time finding out who they were post-game online. The Boston Pride moved on to 2-0, and the New York Rivers went to 0-2. For notes, the Boston Pride really knows how to play hockey. They are really playing well together as a team and living up to their Pride name. New York has a great crowd and a fantastic atmosphere, so if you have the ability to catch a game, you should, especially if you're a fan of all things sports in New York. Side note, I would like to see more in-depth coverage of the NWHL teams, and I am really hoping that is something that future holds until I am going to do my best to be the absolute best NWHL reporter I can be. And Tracy, you're doing a great job doing the reports already with the two that you've done so far. And then, of course, a side note from Tracy, the New York-Boston broadcast was filled with technical troubles, but that isn't unheard of since it is newly getting used to broadcasting, and we shouldn't really be complaining because they are streaming all 36 games of the season for free at http://nwhl.co/crossicepass. And you can also make a donation to the NWHL from that same page to help the league obtain more advanced broadcasting equipment in the future. For previews for October 25th games, this weekend we'll see the opening weekend teams matching up again, with Boston traveling back to Boston for Buffalo's first ever youth hockey promotional night at Harbor Center, which also is father-daughter game. And Boston looking to remain undefeated for the season, and Buffalo is still trying for their first win of the season. The Wild will be making their first trip to the Aviator Sports and Event Center in New York to take on the Riveters, who will skate on their home ice for the second week in a row. The Riveters are looking to get their first W of the season, will be wearing their pink sweaters for their first ever skates for the Cure Breast Cancer Awareness Night. Fans are encouraged to rock the pink at the game as well. And with that, we are going to go to break. Thanks to Tracy. Unfortunately, she couldn't be on due to being out of town, but she will be on next week to give the report. And with that, we'll go to break. The Experience Hockey Talk is brought to you by DerbyCon. DerbyCon, which is December 4th through 6th at the Hyatt Morristown in Morristown, New Jersey. Come see special guests like Karel Strukin, Richard Hatch, Michael H. Hansen, and many others. For more information, please visit DerbyCon.com. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for the Serious Hockey Fans, brought to you by the Tilted Kilt in Frederick, Maryland, which we are recording from live. And up now, we're going to go in back into Caps games reviews with the Washington Capitals in their second game of their Western Canadian trip against the Vancouver Canucks. The lineup for the Capitals did not change with the exception of one minor change. Taylor Chorney became a healthy scratch and Nate Schmidt was put into the lineup. Braden Holtby was the starter for the Capitals. Going into the first period at 5:18, Derek Dorsett of the Vancouver Canucks was called for boarding. Then at 8:33, Brooks Orpik was called for interference. Then at 15:10, Jason Chimera scored his third goal of the season, assisted by Jay Beagle and Andrei Burakovsky. And then, going into the second period, Vancouver scored their first goal of the game when Radim Vrbata netted his first of the season, assisted by the Sedin twins, Henrik and Daniel, and that was at 4:14 into the second. Then, Jason Chimera was called for high-sticking at 9:05, and then Carl Alsner was called for holding at 12:58. Then, on the power play, Henrik Sedin scored his second of the season, assisted by Daniel Sedin and Radim Vrbata, and that was at 14:01. Then to end the second period, Jannik Hansen was called for high-sticking at 19:39. In the third period, Jay Beagle netted his first goal of the season, assisted by John Carlson and Marcus Johansson at 5:42 in the third. Then at 15:05 in the third, Alexander Ovechkin scored his fifth goal of the season, assisted by Evgeny Kuznetsov and Dmitry Orlov. Analysis of the Caps game was that the Caps played a good 60 minutes against the Canucks. Ovechkin was firing on all cylinders and scored his fifth goal of the season. The line of Schmera, Beagle, and Wilson were dangerous yet again as the line scored two goals and registered an assist for 3 points to help the Caps take the 3-2 victory and give them their first win in Vancouver since 2001. The Capitals obviously won 3-2. Shots were 35-25 for the Washington Capitals. Faceoffs were 30-16 in favor of Vancouver. On the power play, the Caps were 0-2, while the Vancouver Canucks were 1-3. The hits were 11-12. In block shots, the Caps outblocked the Vancouver Canucks 13-5. And then, on October 23rd, the Washington Capitals ended their Western Canadian road trip against the Edmonton Oilers. The lineup went back to having Nate Schmidt as a healthy scratch and Taylor Chorney in the lineup. And the other change was that Philip Grubauer made his season debut in the net for the Washington Capitals. All four lines remained the same. In the first period, at 3:05 in the first, Evgeny Kuznetsov scored his first goal of the season, assisted by TJ Oshie and Alexander Ovechkin. Then at 6:11, Brooks Orpik took a penalty for slashing. Then at 10:59, Benoit Pouliot scored his first goal of the season, assisted by Nail Yakupov and Connor McDavid. Then at 11:32, Andrew Ferentz was called for roughing, which then resulted in a 12:07, a power play goal scored by Nicholas Backstrom from John Carlson and TJ Oshie. The goal marked Nicholas Backstrom's fourth goal of the season. Then at 15 minutes even in the first, Edmonton got back on the board when Rob Klinkhammer scored his first goal of the season, assisted by Taylor Hall and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. Then at 19:39, Marcus Johansson scored his second goal of the season, assisted by Justin Williams and Nicholas Backstrom. Then, to start the second period, at 12 seconds into the period, Evgeny Kuznetsov was called for hooking, which at 36 seconds, Connor McDavid scored his fifth goal of the season on the power play, assisted by Andrei Sekera and Mark Letestu. Then at 6:17, Evgeny Kuznetsov netted his second goal of the season, which was unassisted. Then at 7:23, Connor McDavid took a penalty for tripping. And then at 9:26, Andrei Burakovsky scored his second goal of the season, assisted by Evgeny Kuznetsov and Alexander Ovechkin. Then at 9:55 in the period, Brooks Orpik was called for tripping, and then followed by a penalty by Taylor Hall for holding the stick at 11:29. While on 4-on-4 play, Justin Williams netted his first goal of the season and first as a Washington Capital, assisted by Matt Niskanen and Evgeny Kuznetsov at 11:49 in the second period. Then at 14:42 in the second period, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins scored his third goal of the season from Anton Slepyshev. And then to end the period for statistics, at 16:16, Evgeny Kuznetsov was called for interference. Going into the third period, at 8:21, Tom Wilson was called for hooking, and then at 10:13, Jay Beagle was called for tripping. At 16:01, Andrew Ferentz was called for holding, and then at 16:59 on the power play, Evgeny Kuznetsov netted his third goal of the season and his first career NHL hat trick, which was assisted by Andrei Burakovsky and John Carlson. Shots were 26-23 for Washington, faceoffs 32-30. For Washington, Caps were 2-for-4 on the power play, where Edmonton was 1-for-6. The Edmonton Oilers outhit the Washington Capitals 23-17, and the Caps had 16 block shots to Edmonton's 12, as the Washington Capitals defeated the Oilers 7-4. The analysis for the game was that the Capitals, in their second game of the back-to-back, showed no signs of slowing down. The first two periods, the Capitals outscored the Oilers 3-2 in both periods, which felt like track meet, while the third period was more of a defensive shutdown period. Evgeny Kuznetsov had yet another multi-point game this season and recorded his first career hat-trick in the process. Even though Connor McDavid had a goal and an assist, he was held generally quiet by the Caps and was unable to steal the show with highlight reel plays. This was a very good game for the Caps, as this game showed they can handle adversity of playing back-to-backs, especially against a young and talented team like Edmonton. And with that, we take a look at the week ahead. On October 28th, we have our first home game against the Pittsburgh Penguins, who are currently 3-4-0 as of today, which will be the Wednesday Night Rivalries game on NBC Sports Network. And then on October 30th, we will be taking on the Columbus Blue Jackets, who are, as of this recording, are 0-8-0. The big question is, will Columbus have a win before they face off against the Caps, or will they still be winless come Halloween? And around the league, storylines to keep an eye on. Will Montreal go historic and go 10-0 to start the season, and can they do it all in regulation without going to overtime or the shootout? How long will it take for John Tortorella to turn the Columbus Blue Jackets around, and how has he changed as a coach since his departure from Vancouver after the 2013-14 season? And also, can the Capitals and Dallas Stars remain hot, or do they start to cool off as they're both on 5-game winning streaks? And with that, we're going to go to break, and when we come back, we will be doing news and notes.
Hey, this is Tilted Goat Girl Holly. Looking for a place to watch the Capitals take on the Florida Panthers on Halloween? Then come to the Tilted Goat Pub and Eatery at 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Come cheer on the cast with the world-famous Tilt-A-Kilt Girls, who will be dressed up in their favorite Halloween costumes to celebrate Halloween. For more information on the Tilt-A-Kilt Frederick, visit them today on Facebook.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for Serious Hockey fans. We are live here at the Tilted Kilt in Frederick, Maryland, and I am being joined now by Tilted Kilt girl Holly. Hello, Holly.
Hi.
And she is going to be helping me do news and notes for the week starting from 10/17 to 10/23. Starting with October 17th, the NHL announced that Colorado Avalanche defenseman Tyson Barry has been suspended for 3 games without pay for charging an interference against Anaheim Ducks defenseman Simon Dupre during their game in Anaheim on 10/16. Barry will forfeit $41,935.47 in salary. Also on October 17th, Montreal remains perfect. The Canadiens scored 4 unanswered goals to defeat the Detroit Red Wings to go 6-0. Then the New York Islanders handed the San Jose Sharks their first loss of the season. The Islanders overcame 3-1 goal deficits, then scored 3 more unanswered goals to give the Sharks their first loss. Connor McDavid led the Edmonton Oilers to their first win of the season. McDavid had his first career multi-point game, which saw him net 2 goals and 1 assist.
NHL announces Hockey Fights Cancer schedule for when each team will host their annual Hockey Fights Cancer Games. The Washington Capitals will have theirs on October 28th. Ducks win first game of the offseason.
Of the season. I didn't know we could win games during the offseason.
Anton
Kubadovin.
Kubadovin made 34 saves to lead the Ducks to a 4-1 victory over the Minnesota Wild. NHL announces 3 stars of the league for the week ending in October 18th. Carey Price.
But the Montreal Canadiens was the first star, going 3-0-0 with 1 goal against, with a 9.963 save percentage, with 1 shutout. Second star,
Tyler Seguin of the Dallas Stars, 3 goals, 4 assists, 7 points in 3 games, led Dallas to 3 victories.
And the third star was Vladimir Tarasenko, right winger of the St. Louis Blues.
3 goals, 3 assists, 6 points,
plus,
six,
plus rating. 6
rating in 4 games, lifted Blues to 4 straight wins.
And then on October 20th, the Chicago Blackhawks announced that Duncan Keith had knee surgery. Keith will be out an estimated 4 to 6 weeks, which is a huge blow to the Chicago Blackhawks and their defensive core. And also on October 20th, forward Curtis Glencross, a veteran, 9 NHL seasons, told TSN that he is planning to retire. Glencross had professional tryout offers with both the Toronto Maple Leafs and Colorado Avalanche this past training camp, but was not signed by either team. Also, the Montreal Canadiens continued their historic start. Carey Price makes season-high 38 saves en route to his second shutout of the season to help the Canadiens improve to 7-0 and extend their franchise record for consecutive wins to start of the season. The Columbus Blue Jackets on October 21st fired head coach Todd Richards and named John Tortorella new head coach of the Blue Jackets. The Blue Jackets, at the time of the hiring and firing, are the NHL worst 0-7-0 after losing to the Islanders on October 20th. Then on October 21st, the Calgary Flames placed goalie Kerry Ramo on waivers. Ramo, who is now 0-3-0 with a 4.37 goals against average and a .879 save percentage in 3 games, was pulled in the second period of his most recent start against the Washington Capitals, a 6-2 loss on October 20th. The Blues placed forward Paul Stastny on IR. Paul Stastny suffered a broken right foot against the Canucks on 10/16. He'll be reevaluated in 5 weeks. Game-winning goal. On October 21st, Connor McDavid scored his first career game-winning goal against the Red Wings.
Connor McDavid scored his first game-winning goal in the NHL at 6:34 in the second period to lead the Oilers to a 3-1 victory over Detroit. Carolina
wins their first game in Colorado since 1996. Now get ready for a history lesson here, Holly. Victor Rask scored at 1:49 of overtime, and Cam Ward made 26 saves as the Carolina Hurricanes defeated the Colorado Avalanche 1-0, helping the franchise earn its first win in Denver since February 9, 1996, when the Hartford Whalers defeated the Colorado Avalanche when they're in their inaugural season in Colorado 3-2. So the year Colorado came in the league when they moved from Quebec, we still had the Hartford Whalers, and that's the last time the Carolina franchise beat them. That's old school. And of course, on 10/23, Devils forward Steven Gionta was fined for spearing. Gionta was fined $2,284.95 for the maximum allowable under the collective bargaining agreement for spearing Ottawa Senators defenseman Mark Borowiecki in Ottawa on 10/22. And then, of course, the original blue, Plastaway, Jimmy Roberts, a five-time Stanley Cup champion, and the first skater taken by the St. Louis Blues in the 1967 NHL expansion draft, died of cancer on 10/23. He was 75 years old.
On October 23rd, Dallas star defense Jason
Demers
suspended. NHL suspended stars defenseman Jason Demers for two games without pay for elbowing Pittsburgh Penguins forward Nick Bonino on October 23rd in Pittsburgh. Demers will forfeit $36,559.14 due to the suspension.
Now, an interesting note about that elbowing. I watched that game with my father, and Bonino was coming to hit Demers from behind, and Demers put his elbow up to protect himself, and it inadvertently hit him in the face. So, to me, that was a non-suspendable play, but he hit a penguin, so he got suspended. Yeah, and then on October 23rd, the Montreal Canadiens remained perfect and made history. The Canadiens become the second team in NHL history and the first in 40 years to start the season with 8 consecutive regulation victories after routing the Buffalo Sabres 7-2 in Buffalo. Montreal becomes the first team to start its season with 8 regulation wins since the Buffalo Sabres did it to begin the 1975-76 season. Which was when I don't think either of us were alive.
Nope.
I think 86. And then on October 24th, St. Louis forward Jaden Schwartz sustained a fractured left ankle at practice on Friday, 10/23, that required surgery to repair. The Blues announced this morning, October 24th, which it was announced, Schwartz will be reevaluated in 10 weeks. And with that, Holly, thank you so much as I go running, grabbing my plug to end the show for coming off for News and Notes. And everyone, this has been the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for the Serious Hockey fans. My name is Michael Lindemann. She is Tilda Kilt Girl Holly, and we are brought to you by the Tilda Kilt Frederick, Tilda Kilt Pub and Eatery, located at 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Come to the Celtic-themed sports pub featuring the world-famous Tilda Kilt Girls. For more information on Tilda Kilt Frederick, visit them on Facebook today. And until next time, we'll see you guys on the ice.